Continuing our series on elephants in the room, and week one we talked about politics, week two we talked about transgender, gay issues, and today we're talking about the whole issue of race and racism, and just to sort of, I guess, break the ice with that, let me tell you a little story. A lot of times we think that racism is out there. Racism is dealing, other people are dealing with that. Racism actually visited our family about 15, 16 years ago now. As you know, Sandy and I both have been married before, and we got married, and we have between us five children. And one of our children, who has gone on to heaven now, one of our children is Annie. Annie was born in Busan, South Korea. Sandy's former husband and she adopted Annie when she was 8 months old. That's when they got Annie. Annie had a double cleft lip and a cleft palate. She was at Shriners Hospital time after time after time through the years, having a number of different surgeries just to make that cleft lip and palate much better than what it was before. And they did wonders. But at any rate, we were living in Rockville. And Annie went to Rockville High School. And Annie had never really has experienced any racism at all. But when we got to Rockville High School, there's where she experienced it. Being a diminutive South Korean, just beautiful young lady, and I might add quite popular in school, she experienced racism there. There were a few boys in that school who would call her names. They would yell, "Chink!" In fact, one kid, and again, it's a farming community, one kid had a bag of seed, not seed corn, but field corn, you know, off the cob, just a big bag of it. And he was waiting at the parking lot at the end of the day. And as he was as she was leaving the parking lot, he just started throwing that corn at her and at her car when she got in her car, and just kept yelling at her, "Chink, chink, chink." And Annie was a popular girl, like I said. And Annie, if you knew her, and I wish you did, I mean, she had a personality as big as all outdoors. And while it bothered her, at the same time, she thought, "That guy's just an idiot. You know, that guy's just an idiot." Now, in our day and age, that might be somewhat blatant, if you will. But blatant or not, racism is just wrong. It's just simply wrong. And today, I really think it's something that we really, really need to talk about. And we're going to discuss up here. You're going to be able to participate in the discussion if you want to. But just let me throw this out to you two guys. And by the way, this is Brian. And Brian.
Why is Brian up here today? We're talking about racism. Why is Brian up here?
And Brian, a lot of you know Brian. A lot of you know Brian's family, Julie and the kids, and Brian's just a good friend, and not only are we brothers in Christ, but we are brothers in a couple of other ways, and we share good times. And so let me ask you, John, have you ever been a witness to racism? Have you ever seen it happen before your eyes?
Yeah, a lot of times. Racism is, I've seen a lot of times. Coming from multiple different directions. And one of the things that I think it's important that we talk about is that racism is not exclusive to a particular group of people. Mm-hmm. Racism is basically passing judgment on another person for their ethnicity. Or diminishing their value based on their ethnicity. And, I've seen it happen over and over and over again in lots of different formats. Mm-hmm. And my sentiment has been very similar to what Annie's was, and that is that it's just such a dumb way to evaluate people. And we need to you know, we need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because there's no indication in Scripture that race is a factor to a person standing, you know, with God. All of the things that the Scripture talks about where it says, it actually says there's no Jews or Greek, there's no male or female anymore, mm-hmm. because now we've got Christ, basically race disappears, and we become, our identity is now in Christ. It's not in the color of our skin, it's not in our...
Mm-hmm.
In our ethnicity.
Yeah. And what you said just a moment ago, racism just isn't exclusive to one particular race, blacks or Asians or whomever. Caleb and I, our son who lives in South Korea, were talking just the other day, and I was talking to him about this whole issue. And he said, Dad, yeah, he says, it's happened to me here in Korea several times. In fact, one time, and this sort of speaks maybe to Brian's situation in a way. One time, he was traveling on the train with some other students from the school where he works, and he was traveling with other Korean students, male and female. And Caleb happened to be sitting next to a female student on this train. It's like a train that just, you know, goes cross country, and they were heading to a university. And there was an older gentleman on that train, and he got into Caleb's face, and Caleb didn't understand a word he was saying, but he got into his face and started yelling at him, and yelling at the girl sitting next to him, because the guy thought that Caleb, the white American, was in a relationship with this young Korean girl. And in some of the generational circles there, that's the wrong, that is taboo. You don't do that. And just yelling at him, you two shouldn't be in a relationship. And so it happens. It happens. And have you experienced that, Brian?
No, I haven't.
Rhetorical question, right?
Really? To be honest, nobody's been that brave to get in my face and
is that right?
Say something like that.
I wouldn't.
There have been times where I think it's kind of silly where, you know, and I think the compliments are great, but when couples will come up to us at a restaurant or something like that, and then they say, oh, your family's so beautiful. I really appreciate the way that your children behaved. And I'm like, well, what do you expect them to be? Do you expect them to not behave? You know, those types of things. And great, the compliments are nice, but I just kind of wonder, why would you be coming at me or saying those types of things to our family when there's other families that have children that are around as well? So, you know, those types of things are kind of, you know, they kind of stick out sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that people go out of their way to give you compliments because of you? Now, I don't know if everybody knows, but you're married to Julie. Your wife is white, so you're an interracial.
I thought she was black.
No, she's not. My daughter actually. Did Julie ever tell you that?
Yes, she told me.
My daughter Tabby thought that Julie was black when she was little because Julie gets really tan in the summertime, and Tabby confessed that a few months ago. She said, "When I was little, I thought Julie was black," and it's like, she's not. She just looks black. But do you think that is a form of racism when somebody gives you some special treatment because of
some? I don't necessarily think that instant as being racist. I think it's just the fact that they have a specific stereotype of somebody because of their color or their ethnicity, and so it kind of amazes folks that sometimes that, well, maybe they don't behave the way that I thought they behaved.
Okay.
And so I just let that go.
It doesn't bother you?
No, I just laugh, and I kind of find it kind of comedic a little bit because, you know, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. You know, we're people just like they are, and we do use knives and forks, and we do use napkins,
yeah.
plates, all that stuff.
Yeah, your family eats very neatly.
And you know, that reminds me. Our son Landon, when he was just he had He was probably 6 months old. I was in college, and my wife was working there on campus. And one of the house moms of this dorm babysat our son, Landon. And Landon had, well, we have a white family. We have a totally white family. And so I took Landon to the house mom in the dorm, and as I dropped him off to the house mom there in the lobby, some of the basketball players came through. And the center for the team at Lincoln Christian, the center for the team happened to be a black guy. And he just loved little kids. So he scooped Landon out of the arms of the dorm mom, and he was holding Landon in his arms, and Landon looked at him. In fact, Landon looked at him, and Landon goes like this. Landon goes,
"Oh, yes.
For real."
Yes. No, it doesn't come off. No.
And we all just, I mean, busted a gut laughing at that because it really was so funny. but you know, you mentioned and you spoke to it, subtle forms of racism. I mean, the blatant racism is out there. You got organizations who are blatantly racist. But what about subtle forms of racism? What do you see?
I have a story that I want to tell, and I want to get your reaction on it because I'm genuinely curious what you think. Okay, you were asking me about racism. The most stark example of racism that I have experienced recently came when I'm doing a comedy show scheduled to do a comedy show out in Portland. And the producer of the show called me 6 or 7 weeks in front of the show. And he said, "Hey, John, the church out here wants to have a black person up on stage. They want a black comedian. So do you know any black comics that we can get to go up on stage?" And I, that hit me wrong. Because it seems to me that to pick a comedian based on the color of their skin is not correct. And so what I said to him, because I'm mouthy, I said, "Sure, I know all kinds of black comedians. Not a one of them is Christian, and they drop the F-bombs. Is that going to be okay at the church?" And he said, "Come on, you know what I'm talking about." And I said, "I do know what you're talking about, and I do know a guy. And I've got a good friend of mine, Jason Earls, who's black, and he's very funny." But I thought I was offended that he was asking me to basically put my friend up on stage solely because he was black and not because he was an excellent comedian.
Was this a predominantly white church or a predominantly black church?
It was a mixed church. Actually, they didn't even let me come after that. That's true. I didn't even get to go out and do the show because I apparently annoyed them.
Maybe they were trying to, I guess, make sure that there was at least one black guy that was a comedian in that mixed church.
Right.
That part, I guess it's part of that inclusive thing. So mm-hmm. They want to make sure that those that are black that are there can, you know, have somebody there that they can identify with as well. Because, you know, the humor is different between, you know, because of how somebody can connect with somebody based off of how, you know, culture. Because culture is a big deal. With the way that, I guess in some ways you would see that as, they didn't want to have just a bunch of white folks at a church, and then you have black folks that are there, and then all of a sudden they're just kind of like, they're, I guess it's trying to not make sure that they're not represented. Mm. And so I understand the question,
right?
Mm-hmm. I understand that you may get offended, but at the same time, where else are they going to find them besides through another comic?
Yeah. So I'm asking, Was I justified in being offended, or did I make too big a deal out of it?
I think you made a big deal about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I understand.
No, that's why I asked.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that, but at the same time, when you're talking about, you know, trying to reach out and find somebody that's going to be able to do something that's what you would say clean, and be able to represent everybody within that church. Well, they don't want to just, they want to make sure that everybody feels included within that, within their church. So I understand why they would ask that question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. When we were in Colorado, the church out there, we had predominantly white folks in our church, but we also had Hispanics, we also had blacks, we also had Asians as well. And quite honestly, coming from Rockville, where it was all white, and having the experience of the high school with Annie, we welcomed being a part of a church that had all types of people. I mean, it was wonderful. But we never talked about this issue out there. What sort of subtle forms of racism have you noticed, Brian? Or maybe you have actually been on the receiving end of?
Subtle forms? Well,
I mean, are people blatantly racist toward you? Has anyone been that way?
I've had some experience where people, well, this goes back to when I was in college, and I was in West Lafayette. And West Lafayette's supposed to be, you know, ethnically diverse, but it wasn't uncommon. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I'm big enough. My mouth's big enough, isn't it? But there are I had an experience when I was just walking to class. This was later in the afternoon, it was one of those times where I just actually had a guy just come by in a car, just couples. I don't know if they were students or if they were just residents, but they just screaming at, "Hey, you know what?" as they were driving by and just on my way to class. There have been times where it could be walking down the street and I can be, you know, mainly pretty much the only person on the street, and somebody would come be coming the opposite direction, and then they kind of see you and then go to the other side of the street. I guess I'm really intimidating, so but they'll walk to the other side of the street, or you'll see a couple and then the wife will grab her purse and put her purse up underneath her armpit and act like she's trying to secure her so valuable bag just as you're walking down the street, or people just blatantly just kind of stare at you just because of, like, they've never seen one of us before, I guess. Hmm. There's a lot of those types of little things that we notice. We notice how people, especially at a restaurant, how we could be sitting down having dinner and people will just stare. Hmm. Stare. And so I just kind of made a little thing where I keep it with we do it with my kids. We just kind of stare right back, and then we just go, "Hi!" You know, just to kind of break it up and let them know that, yes, we see that you stare, so you might want to stop. Kind of make them feel uncomfortable for a change. But there's a lot of different little things that are like that, and, you know, but we try to just let it just roll off, and we just, for one, with us and the kids, we just kind of giggle about it. And wife used to get mad about it, but she's not. She don't get mad as like she used to. But she's gotten used to that.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I really appreciate about you: your sense of humor, and things like that. And if you don't know Brian, Brian's a big teddy bear. He really is, just a big teddy bear.
I have my moments.
Okay, I'm going to tell a story. So we used to bowl. We were on a bowling team together, Brian and I. This was years ago. And Sir Hall was on that. Remember that? Remember this? And we were bowling, and I'm standing up in the back. I was done. Brian had just finished bowling, and he comes up. You don't remember this, do you? He comes up. I'm standing there minding my own business, and Brian comes up and just slugs me as hard as he can in the shoulder. And I go, "What was that for?" And you said, 400 years of oppression.
No, I did not. Was I drunk?
No.
Because I don't remember this. No way.
Yep.
Yep. I must have felt really comfortable with
so
you, John.
I paid my reparations, man.
Like another one.
Like I said, teddy bear, right? You just mentioned, I think in jest, reparations. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm pleading ignorance here. I really am. And in fact, several times, I will be on the fence about racial issues. And Brian, I'll seek Brian out and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Tell me, what do I need to know? And here's something that I plead total ignorance in, and that is white privilege.
That's real. It's
okay,
real.
Okay. Educate me, educate us.
It's real.
What is it to begin
there's
with?
There's a reason why there's a reason why you have, what's that, that deal where equal opportunity, all that type of stuff when it comes to hiring blacks and whites, mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm, you know, well, Latinos and so forth, mm-hmm, within a job, and that's mainly because it sucks when you have a person, lack of a better term, a white boss that, mm-hmm, you're going to go interview for, and you can look really good on paper. You can have a regular name, such as Brian Fowler. Mm-hmm. Pretty plain. And when you talk to me over the phone, I sound kind of white.
Oh, okay. That is such a racist thing to say.
I have on my professional voice.
Okay.
And then when you walk into the office, and then all of a sudden they're kind of blown away when they first look at you, and you're like,
huh.
No.
They weren't expecting that.
Uh-huh. No. But then at the same time, when they put you on paper, when you're on paper in comparison to somebody else, well, you can call it racism or you can call it discrimination. You can call it whatever you want, but they will sit and they will select Johnny over here because there's still something about Brian that I just don't trust or I don't like. And then next thing you know, there goes Johnny. He might not even be qualified for the job. There's a reason why that's there. So they'll play favoritism to that guy over to the guy that actually deserves to be there. There's a reason for that. And white privilege, yeah, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same thing, whereas, and I know somebody have seen this. If anybody has Facebook, Instagram, or anything like that, they've seen this. People will make, mm-hmm, posts on Facebook or Instagram, or you'll see it on television, where a police officer will walk up to your car, and one person will give them the riot act. The riot act. Call them all kinds of names. They're throwing a big temper tantrum in their car. And I sit and I look at that, and I'm like, why is that person still allowed to sit in their car? But as an individual with this, will be pulled out of their car immediately. I have to tell Mike, it sucks, but this is something that has I've been raised with. And this is something that was stated to me as a young man getting ready to drive. There's no reason why I should have to do this, but we have to, or we teach to this. We'll get in a car, we'll take off, and we're going to go do whatever it is that we're going to do, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. Get in the car, take off, might be going to a friend's house, might be going to work, might be getting ready to go out to dinner, go on a date. You get pulled over. Well, if you get pulled over, there's a couple things that you need to do. One of the things you have to do is make sure that you keep your hands on the steering wheel. Because you don't know whether or not if you're going to be able to make it away from this stop without going to jail. So you keep your hands on the steering wheel, and the first thing, you don't reach for anything. You stay visible, and you ask for permission to do anything. Because in our minds, with the way that we feel and the way that we are treated, we are always treated as a threat when dealing with somebody of the opposite race. And as you guys have probably seen on, you know, Facebook or television, where guys don't even make it home to their families. So this is something that we've been taught for a long time. And then before we do make any movements, we always ask for permission. So if a cop comes to our window, who most likely is kind of walking up really ginger, we'll keep our hands on the steering wheel. If he tells us to take our hands off the steering wheel, we put our hands up in the air like this. He'll ask for our driver's license and registration, and then we'll say we have to explain where it is before we go and we reach for anything. Because the last thing we want to be, you know, recognized as is a threat. So we'll ask for permission. It's in the glove compartment, or it's in my pocket. Can I reach for it? Yeah, we have to get permission. And that's the reason why I get upset when I can see Johnny throwing a fit, calling the cop all kinds of names and wanting a badge number and all that type of stuff, and then they get to make it home. But if we do something like that, then we're lucky to make it home.
Well, I would say, it's interesting you'd say that, because my parents told me the exact same thing when I was first learning to drive. If you get pulled over, put your hands on the steering wheel and don't sass the police. So I agree with you, mm-hmm. that there are people who seem to there are people who get away with more, depending on who the policeman is and what sort of personal biases and prejudices and grudges he. Mm-hmm. He has, but I think that being respectful to the policeman is
that's
something
a given. You should be, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like the reason why we're doing this is just to make sure that we can survive the stop.
That the deck is stacked against you.
Oh yeah,
to begin with.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because just like in the example that I said before. Couple comes down the sidewalk. Lady grabs her purse, sticks it up underneath her armpit because she thinks I'm going to rob her. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm walking through a parking lot and there would be all kinds of people in the parking lot and I walk by a car and then I hear a click as I walk by the door. Mm-hmm. Oh, heaven forbid I reach in and take her stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'm not diminishing what you're saying, but I had that happen one time to me. I was walking past this lady, and she looked out the window at me. I was just walking past at Walmart, and click, she locked the door. And I actually was a little proud of that, that I was, seriously. It's like, all right, well, evidently she's intimidated.
Yeah, but there's always subtle things that we kind of, there's subtle things that we notice, and then, of course, we kind of wonder how, well, and then I'm getting political if I do any of that stuff, so I'm going to leave that alone. But, you know, there's certain ways how people are handled because of the color of their skin when it comes to being in what, whether you're mm-hmm. in business, whether if you're in politics, if you're a criminal, you know, get handled a lot differently.
What would be the ideal way for this to be handled? Like how would you in a perfect world, how would you like for people who are not black to interact with you?
Treat me like a real person. Not look at me like I'm some criminal. I know people have been taught that staring is impolite, so why are you staring at me? You know, at least if you're going to look at me, at least say hi. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, just treat me like a person, because that's what we are. And sometimes I feel that we're not valued as people.
Let me ask you this. Since you were a teenager, have things gotten better, stayed the same, gotten worse?
Maybe because I'm not a person that goes out a whole lot unless I'm involved in some sort of sporting event, which when it comes to sports, you know, or athletics, you know, it's always a different scenario. Mm-hmm. I can't really say whether or not if racism has gotten any worse. I can't say anything about if it's gotten any better, you know, mm-hmm. because there's always a lot of strides that need to be made. Mm-hmm. whether it's in school, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the justice system, there's still a lot of stuff that still needs to be handled, and I really feel that we keep trying to sweep it underneath the rug and try to act like it's not existed. And if we keep trying to sweep it under the rug, then nothing gets addressed. Nothing changes. As long as you keep acting like it doesn't exist, then things start to kind of come out more. I think the reason why people are seeing more, I guess if some people think that racism is worse than what it's been before in the past, is maybe because everybody has one of these now.
Mm.
And so they're always doing this and videoing things and then putting it on the internet. And that in itself, this little tool may make it seem like it's worse than before, but really they're just catching people. That's what they're doing. Uh-huh. They're catching people when they're in the act. Uh-huh. And so now everybody sees it more because what's the first thing they do? They post it on YouTube or they post it on Instagram or something like that.
Uh-huh. What can be done to push that boundary back? What can be done to tear down a wall? What can we do? Say what, Ray?
Treat people like they're people.
Treat people like they're people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's more than just the skin color. The skin color just defines your culture. That's all it does. It doesn't define who you are as a person.
Mm. And coming from a Hispanic background, Ray, have you been on the receiving end in a bad way when it comes to racism or anything like that? Okay.
But when I came out here, and it was like, I was the only Mexican guy. There were more black guys out here than Mexican guys.
Yeah, man.
I was like, man, I really am a minority out here. And, you know, I guess I got the looks and first question. Well, first of all, I look like I'm Asian, so I got that going for me too, right?
So, do people think you're Asian?
What are you?
Do they talk real slow to you?
Yeah. That's hilarious that you're racist, but you're wrong about the race.
How you want to be treated.
So even if I got that, I never really hit me like that. You know, I just kind of bounced it off and keep going.
My little brother, has the coloring of my dad. My dad was very dark complected, dark brown eyes, black hair. My brother's a truck driver. He drives primarily down in the southern states. He lives in Houston. And multiple times, my brother has backed his semi up to a loading dock at a warehouse and gotten out of his semi, and fellas on the loading dock who are Mexicans or Hispanics, they come up to my brother because he has dark hair, dark eyes, dark tan, he has a goatee, and they start speaking Spanish to him. He's going, hey, I'm really, really sorry, man, but I don't know how to speak Spanish, you know? They mistake him for being Mexican. I think one of the, and you guys both talked about it, I think one of the biggest things that we can do to combat, to push back racism is to intentionally be a person who is, and I don't want to use this word in the wrong way, but be inclusive. You know, don't judge a person by their skin color. Judge a, you know, look at a person and not necessarily judge them, but look at their character. Look at their character and not their skin color.
It's just a matter of just getting to know people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it really comes down to, is actually getting to know people. You can know, you meet somebody, and by the time you're done speaking with them, you can tell whether or not if they're kind of sketchy. Mm-hmm. If they're sketchy, then yeah, you kind of leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter whether they're white, black, or, you know, Hispanic or what. Mm-hmm. You know, sketchy yeah. people, you just leave alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But if they're not, give them the benefit of the doubt. Just treat them like a real person.
Yeah. Because
that's who they are. They're a person.
Yeah.
Right.
Their food might be different, the way they talk is different,
yeah.
but their character
yeah.
be very much just like you.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's the color just defines the culture. That's all mm-hmm. that does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just treat you like a person. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or not.
And gender. Gender shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
Well, Brian said it. Brian said, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
that's something that I talk about with my kids all the time.
That sounds biblical to me. I can't remember.
Really?
I don't know where that
Bible?
I think somebody in the Bible said that. But that's, you can't go wrong.
No.
If you treat other people the way you want to be treated. Then you're going to be right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We sort of need to wind this down. Let me, and we could go on for another hour, easy.
Let's do it.
Let me read for you a passage from the book of Revelation. The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. He was exiled on the island of Patmos out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And while he was there, he wrote the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation most of it is about these different dreams that he had, these different visions that he had from God. And in one of these visions, in one of these dreams, this is what John wrote down. And I think it speaks right to where we are right now. He wrote in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, he says, I looked, and there I saw before me a great multitude that no one could count. Do you get that? I saw so many people. I couldn't count that high. And he goes on to say, I saw a great multitude that I could not count. Here it is, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb. Heaven is a place where we are not defined by our skin color. Heaven is not a place where we're defined by our ethnicity, by our language, by our nationality. Heaven is defined by the fact that we love Jesus. That's a defining factor. And what I think we need to do as a church is to bring a glimpse of heaven into this church. We need to bring a glimpse of heaven into our circle of friends. We need to bring a glimpse of heaven around our dining room tables. And we need to treat other people, the golden rule, like we want to be treated. We really do. Anything you guys want to add?
Amen. I think I'm good.
All righty.
Don't punch me again.
Don't punch him again.
I'll get you in my left hand.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for coming. Thanks for participating. It's a real issue. But invite people. Invite people to be a part of your life who don't look like you. If you want to talk about Christ, talk about giving your life to Christ, see any one of us, any number of people, and we'd love to talk to you about that. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the chance to just talk. Talk about an elephant in the room. Talk about a sticky issue. Talk about an issue that brings people blood to boiling at times. And God, I'm just so grateful that we can sit and talk and we can love on each other. And God, I pray that as we leave here, we'll just not do that with the people that look like us, but we'll love on people who don't look like us as well. Go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.